and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 162, the stanza 1 and 2. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior. He has proved he only is my rock and tower, I'll never shall be moved. 1 and 2, 162. Out of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the first general epistle of John, the second chapter 1, John chapter 2. But before we'll confess with the Church of all ages and places our adopted Catholic faith with the words of the 12 articles.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. First John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray according to thy will. For we always are intending our own will to proceed, unless John the Baptist said, and he is stronger, mightier than me, he has overcome me. He was victorious in that battle against me. He subdued me, and he lowered me at his feet, begging for mercy. And therefore he must increase, he said, and I must decrease. I pray, Lord, that thou would hear us in prayer, and that in this afternoon and evening service, when we come together for the second time to hear thy word, that it might be given to us to preach that word purely, without looking to man or myself, fearing for thee, and not fearing any man, whom it might be. Lord, we pray that while we continue the last Lord's days in the Heidelberg Catechism, is the last part of it prayer, thy prayer, it might be given to be our prayer in Christ. Forgive us our debtors like we forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. Teach us the truth in it for the first time or another time anew. Lord, we pray for the world around us when in the Middle East children are bombed, hatred is living on the streets, killing seems to be a matter of the fear of God, but they proclaim a different God full of hatred, and thou art the God of mercy and goodness, who even sent thy son to be crucified, to blot out the handwriting that's against us. Remember those who couldn't come, sick or weak. Lord, we pray that their souls might be gathered in the bundle of life. For the world passes by, but who does thy will live eternally. Remember our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of every family here or in the Netherlands. We pray for those who have a week of rest with the family, and Lord, we pray that thou would bless them at the places where they are, that they might find rest not only for their bodies that's temporary, but an everlasting rest for their everlasting souls. Lord, have mercy upon us. Remember the mothers and the fathers, children, another week holiday, and they have to prepare, buy stuff for next year, clothes, prepare. Some like it to go to school, others don't. But we need to be taught. And we have still Christian schools where thy word is taught. But Lord, We pray for the teachers, in which school it might be, that they are taught by thee to teach, loved by thee to love. Shine upon them by thy grace once more, that they might be a light by thy light, also for our children who are going to eternity. Remember us this night, when we gather again together, this holy day, this Lord's Day, the day separated for thy service. O Lord, remember us, please. We forfeited it. But look upon us in thy dear Son, who is the only righteousness that pleases thee. We pray it. In Christ's name, amen. Congregation, we continue. We're almost done in the Heidelberg Catechism. Some people don't like confessions, but I like them. It comprehends the doctrines of grace in a pure way, like it's done in the Heidelberg Catechism in the early days of the Reformation. And we continue our last Lord's Days, but now Lord's Day 51, the fifth petition, question 126. Which is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of grace in us. That it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. How I deal with it again, I'm saying it in the first place, I'll deal with the literal translation of this text. Forgive us our debts as we, or like we, forgive our debtors. I have four treasures out of it to deal with it. Then we go to the Heidelberg Catechism for the application of it. Like I read, that is, be pleased, and so on. So first, to deal with the literal translation and the application of the truth in it, literally, and then secondly, look to the application like we find it in the question and answer 126, the fifth petition. One thing I want to say, and I did it, and I do it again and again. Thankfulness is the third part of the catechism. So, misery, deliverance by faith in Christ, and then thanksgiving. That's the third part. Now, in the third part, the law is explained. Not that we walk by the law, but according to the law. That's different, eh? Not by the law, but by grace, but according to the law. Now, why is the law explained that vividly in the Thanksgiving part of the catechism? Now, for one reason, to know your evil nature. That even after grace, you trespass the law. More than you want, even. To know my evil nature more and more. And then, plead upon the righteousness of Christ outside of yourself. But after the commandments, after the Ten Commandments, explained in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, is prayer. And prayer is the main part of thanksgiving. Now, what does that mean? Well, this. Let's go to a commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a commandment. But prayer follows after it. That thy will be done. On earth like it's in heaven. So every command corresponds with a prayer. Give what thou requires. And requires what thou willst. That's the order of the catechism. So, give what thou requires of me. I don't have it. And require what thou willst. That's Augustine. But that's the whole content of the scriptures. God requires it. I don't have it. I can't even find it in myself. But give it to me. And when thou givest it to me, it will be there. Then it's grace. Otherwise it's law. Then it's grace. It's given to you. Thankfulness. Given to you. Now that's the order of the Heidelberg Catechism. We have seen the law in the first part for conviction. And now you see it again in the last part. Some say it should be explained in the first part more extensively. All the commandments. But I leave it as it is. It has a certain purpose and I'm not going into it now. Secondly, therefore we now deal with the prayer. Forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. We have sinned. Forgive us our debts. And before we continue, let's first sing again. 103, 1 through 4. 103, 1 through 4. Where we will sing together. Lord, in thee I am confiding. Thou wilt answer when I call, lest my foes the good deriding triumph in thy servant's fall. And what's following? 103, 1 through 4. congregation and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's a sentence with as. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. It's host or it's like. Forgive me my debts like I forgive my debtors. It's a prayer and a confession or let's say it's a prayer. Forgive me my debts and a confession like I forgive my debtors. It's important to see that both parts of this sentence are as, like. Well, remember that it's a prayer of the Lord Jesus. We always think it's our prayer, it's not our prayer. Christ prayed it. And he taught it his disciples to pray it. They had heard the Lord Jesus praying, and then they said to him, teach us to pray. I don't know. If I've heard thee praying, I can't pray anymore. Do you understand? And what did he then? Give prayer lessons. No, he didn't. He just said, as to little children, pray after me. Say it like your mother taught you to pray in the early years of your life. He said, okay, children, pray after me. Forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. Peter, pray. Forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. No prayer lessons, but say it after me. That's what he said. Now when we think about it, then we see that in this prayer, it's first the prayer of Christ. And it's wonderful that he, God being God, teaches us to pray to forgive our sins. It's a pleasure, listen, of God to forgive sins. It's his desire. It's his desire to forgive sins. It's his only desire. To wipe away, to blot away the handwriting that's against you. He wants to be gracious and glorified by grace. Therefore Christ teaches this prayer, he prays. And therefore if it's prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus, it will be heard. He said, pray this in my name, and it will be heard. Your debts will be forgiven. Now I translate the words. Debts are ophelata, and it means originally what I come short. I had it, like this morning alone. I spoiled it and come short of it. That's my debt. First I had it and I spoiled it. Since fallen paradise and sins. Debts are only debts if you had it before and you spoiled it, misused it. Then it's a debt. We can also say shortcomings. Or forgive what I should have done and didn't do. Should have been and wasn't. Should have paid and didn't pay. In the first place, it teaches us what we should have been and didn't be. Are not. What we should have done, obeying the law perfectly and haven't done. Being an unfallen person, because it's our own will and intent to fall. We did it intentionally, falling away from God. And then that, instead of obedience, we didn't obey. You're guilty. So the word teaches us really what we had and don't have anymore. What we should have done and didn't do. What we should have been and are not. So it teaches us our sins, even this word. Our fallen paradise and sins. But secondly, Christ teaches us to pray this. If he says, forgive us our debts, God, now I say a statement, and listen carefully, God cannot forgive. That's half saying, Pastor, right. But he cannot forgive unless someone else pays. The Lord can not just forgive. He's righteous, and his will says he needs to punish. He can only forgive if an other one pays. Now wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus. He says, Father, forgive them, I pay. That's grace. At the cross he prayed it. He says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. I pay. It's supported by his payment. And again, I will not want to scare you, but God cannot forgive unless someone pays perfectly for my being, for my doing, and for my guilt. Now Christ says, Father, forgive them, I pay. What a stronghold, isn't it? God can forgive his people. Do you know why? It is paid. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know if it's paid for me. No, therefore he prays. Forgive them. Father, you know the old church says the prayers of Christ are the applications to the church. Listen again. The prayers of Christ are the applications to your soul. He prays, and God will give it in his name. Not my prayers, but first of all his prayers. Christ was made sin. I hope you might have that experience. He was made my sin. Well, it was righteous. To pay all my debts. That I might be released from judgment and have peace with God. Therefore, congregation, if we just start by the prayers of man and even of the people of God, we miss the first part. The first part is Christ prays for his people and with his people and his people with him. Is that not a stronghold? blot my transgressions out. For thy mercy's sake, for thy payment's sake, God can't forgive unless it's paid for. God is righteous, and his righteousness demands payment of your debts. And if that's the difference this morning, he said forgive, and he forgave the loan, 1 billion or 6 billion or million. But he didn't say forgive it, and later on he said pay it again. No, he said the credit is there, the payment is there, the guilt is there. You don't need to pay, let the payment be. But the payment has to be paid. And if it's paid once and for all, God never comes back on it. And that's the second thing. Some people think, and congregation, listen please carefully. Some people think that God gives forgiveness step by step. That's not biblical. If he forgives your sins, he forgives them all at once. All at once. And he never comes back at it anymore. With one sacrifice, he made perfect those who are going by him to God, by faith. But why does the Lord then say and teach here to his people, at the last part of the Heidelberg Catechism, his people, forgive us our debts? Now, especially after grace, you know what's your shortcoming. Now, let's ask the people of God. When God forgave your sins, what did you promise? I did promise it. Never to sin again. I said, Lord, now it's over. I am not sinning again. And do you know what I did? Sinning again. Coming short of my promises. I am ashamed, born in sin. So if the Bible teaches us, the Lord Jesus teaches us in this prayer, forgive us our shortcomings, our promises which we didn't fulfill. Guilty to the gospel. God's people are guilty towards the gospel. Not only against the law we have sinned, God's people have sinned against the gospel, against the goodness of God, and it's all shortcomings. How can I stand before God? Full of shame I am. And our Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them what they didn't do and promise them to do their vows. They should have walked holily, and you have a worldly mind still. They should have walked in heaven, and they walk on earth. They said they wouldn't like the pleasures of the world anymore, and they swallow in it. Forgive them their shortcomings. I paid for it. And congregation, if we would make up our accounts in the presence of God, what are your shortcomings since fallen paradise and ever? I should leave this pulpit if I had to stand on my vows. But I'm not standing on my righteousnesses. I am resting at the bosom of my dear Savior. For he says, pray, pray, forgive me my shortcomings. Wait a moment. That didn't he say? He said, our debts. You know what? He brings us to his sacrifice, where he laid aside his righteousness, his obedience, his vows, his holiness, and put on my clothes of sin and shame. And pay the penalty. You know what he says? Give me your sins. Please give me your sins. Please give me your sins. Luther says it even different. He says, you know what Christ does with his people? He robs their sins away. He says, they are mine, and I'll give you my righteousness. For sometimes you want to get rid of your sins, isn't it? You want to cherish them. But he robs them away. He says, they are mine. And he gives you his righteousness in that hour of the twinkling of an eye, where you confess your guilt and your shortcomings again and again. He says, once I pay the penalty forever and ever. And if he for... Now let's give that example to those who were not here. I always handled my domine in the Netherlands not so good. On the catechism hours, I was really a problem for him, I know. Do you dare to say that? Yes, I dare to say it. But when I got older, in my last years of my ministry in the Netherlands, I said to my wife, we should go to Nunspeet, to the minister. She said, what are you doing there? I said, you'll find out. So I ring the bell and I said, here am I. He said, hey, Klaas, are you? Yeah, I said, hey, sit, come in. I said, I have to ask you something. When I sat down, he said, please forgive me, the troublemaker of your catechism classes. Do you know what he said? Listen, that's gracious. He says, boy, I have already forgiven you it years ago. See? He didn't say, now this time. You should have come earlier. He looked at me in tears in his eyes. He said, boy, I have forgiven you earlier. And when I came in Canada, even the minister in Grand Rapids told me his story, because that minister was a friend of the minister in Grand Rapids, Bilkis, Dr. Bilkis. And he says, that minister told me your story, and the tears. I said, yes. Is there something to be forgiven by you? Do you need to go somewhere because you made a problem for others? Do you need to ask your children? Or see, that's grace. Grace goes even before confession. For he loved his people from eternity, and he was crucified while we were still sinners. He provided before we needed it. once one ran out of the church because I said, grace is always preceding confession. If that's not true, what would confession mean? From the side of God, eh? From the side of God. He says, back for grace, I give it. There is grace. Otherwise he wouldn't have taught us this. That's a stronghold in prayer. The surety. And he paid my penalty. How do I know it? Well, I died with him and I raised with him. He was resurrected. Do you know what a resurrection means? It's paid. God took the payment for all his people by the resurrection of Christ. He was raised for our justification. No hard word, difficult word, but I hope you understand what I mean. There in Psalm 130, there, for he says, there is forgiveness with thee. Don't think there is no forgiveness. There is forgiveness with thee. The biggest sin is, the heaviest sin is, to think that God don't want to forgive. You make God not merciful if you always make him dirty and cruel and without compassion. Congregation, this prayer is prayed already in the Old Testament. That's the third thing I want to say. When there was the inauguration of the temple, Solomon prayed. Now listen, he made a stool, and between him and the holiest of holy was the altar, the sacrifice. And he prayed while the inauguration of the temple was there. You can read it in 1 Kings 8. And what did he say? He says, there is no man that sinneth not. 1 Kings 8:46. And thou be angry with him. And when he makes supplication unto thee, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, then hear their prayer and their supplication, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. Now listen, he prayed it, and between him and the holiest of holies was the altar. He prayed it in Jesus' name, for the sacrifice of Christ who paid the penalty. And I read it in verse 22, 1 Kings 8. And Solomon stood before the altar. The altar between him and his prayer. Lord, apply this sacrifice to thy people. Lord, apply it. Apply it. This payment to thy people. There is forgiveness, and God desires to forgive. Dear, really, the father was waiting for the prodigal, and even before he could confess his sins, he kissed him. He waited for him. Not as a good being, not as a faithful Christian, but as a rotten sinner. Had spoiled all his goods. Only death. But I believe, congregation, it's hard to believe. Nominal Christians can believe everything. But if you're convicted of your sins, it's hard to believe that God wants to forgive you. You always feel the sin between you and God and think He won't hear me. Therefore, grace is a gift and faith is a gift. It's worked by the Holy Spirit in my heart that He has forgiven me. I wrestle with you. Of course, I know you're hesitating. I see it in your eyes. You think God won't forgive. He won't forgive you if you don't believe He has forgiven you. Then you sin against the gospel. That's sin against the Holy Spirit. If you continue in that way, you're hardened of heart. Why do you wrestle with us? I want your souls to be saved and your sins to be blotted out by the precious application of the Holy Spirit to your soul. That one day you might say, I'm blotted out, the handwriting is blotted out, and I'm a new creature. He forgave it all. Oh, what a day would it be. You were a new creature. You will be a new creature. And when He forgives the past and the present and the future. Congregation, you will be new. But let's sing 22, 1 and 3. 22, 1 and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou of grace? See? God of grace, how long shall fears beset me while darkness hide thy faith? And what's following? 22, 1 and 3. poor thing I want to say about this prayer is it's a prayer with a confession. Forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. That's a confession. Host, that's like or as. It doesn't say because. Then would be your forgiveness of sin to your neighbor a merit that God might forgive your sins. It's not because. It's not said, Lord, forgive my debts because I forgive my debtors. Then the forgiveness of your debtors would be a merit, meritus, to get forgiveness. Not because. As. Confession. But also, it's not you must forgive, otherwise God won't forgive you. And then it's not a merit, but a condition. You can say, there is a condition to forgiveness, that I forgive my debtors. Then it's not a merit, but a condition. If you don't meet the condition of forgiving your debtors, God can forgive you. Nonsense. Sometimes you can forgive your debtors. But God will make it when you see your own debts and how they are forgiven in due time. It's grace alone. It's grace alone. It's a confession of sins. And grace alone, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Secondly, we live in a time and age of I. But the Lord Jesus says, we. Mother prays for her children, for her husband. A brother prays for his brother. Forgive us our debts. Probably, if you're a good father, you pray more for your children than for yourself. Do you understand me? Lord, forgive my children their debts. And me too, but first them. If there's any grace in you, Moses said, blot their sins out and forgive me, or let me go, but keep thy people faithful to, be faithful to thy own people. Blot me out. He was begging for grace for the people of God, and he says, if I have to be blotted out, let it be, but forgive them. And then you may include, forgive us. Daniel did it. He hadn't sinned. He was a man of God. He had sinned, but he hadn't sinned like the most of the people. He was a man of God, but he says, forgive us our sins. He was the chief of sinners, begging for mercy for sinners. Then your children are not in the fold, but the fathers and the mothers. Forgive me and my children. No, strange. Forgive my children and me, my sins. My people, my congregation, my family, thy people, the more than me, please. I'm not worthy. Oh, would that be a wonder if that started to happen in the congregation? God would do wonders. Congregation, it can only be forgiven because of the sacrifice of Christ. And now we turn to the Catechism, and therefore you see, and forgive us our debtors like we forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased. Have a pleasure, please. Have a pleasure, please, Lord. For the sake of Christ's blood, once shed for all, to impute to our sins, to our poor, to us poor sinners. Listen, what a question. You have sinned, and he says, Lord, be pleased not to impute. Keep us accountable for our sins for the blood of Christ's sake. Don't keep us accountable for our sins for the blood of Christ's sake. Do you understand, or is it difficult? I think probably it's difficult. Don't count us to be a sinner for the blood of Christ's sake. He paid. Is that not rude? To ask that God will take away your sins, not imputing them, put them on your account, for Christ's sake. No, that's begging for mercy. It needs to be paid. Lord, it is paid. Don't impute them on my account anymore. That's faith. Do you know what's not faith? I don't know if thou art willing to do it. Do you know what we oftentimes think that God is severe and righteous without mercy? Some have an idea of God that he's only a judge. But do you know what God is? A judge to save. Why have you always have that imagine of God? Why do you always think that he's only a judge? As he has given his son as a sacrifice, how do you dare to say that he is only condemning? No, he says, I'm come in this world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved by me. Always negative thoughts about God. How do you dare? Catechism is so clear. That is, be pleased. It's thy pleasure, but be pleased. For the sake of Christ's blood, his sacrifice, his dying to death, for he took my sins to death, to hell. Not to impute, not to count my sins on my own account, but put him and have put him on the account of Christ. That's pleading upon his sacrifice. Why don't you do it? Why do you always want to do it yourself and try to please God? You can't. Horrible worm. Horrible worm. That's bold, isn't it? Saying to God, don't count, make me accountable for my own sins. That's bold. put him on the account of thy dear son for his blood's sake. That's pleading upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever done it? That's pleasing God. It's not pleasing when you don't plead upon the sacrifice of Christ. Why don't you? Do you know why? You don't want to be released from your sins. You want to cherish them. When I sometimes preach without condition to grace, I feel the resistance in the congregation. You always like a sermon that you can't convert yourself and have an excuse not to be forgiven. For if you ask forgiven, sin must be sin, and judgment must be judgment, and hatred to sin must be hatred to sin. That's the fruit of grace. In congregation, that's the thing the Lord does in his ways. Secondly, our transgressions to the law and the gospel. We have not only transgressed against the law and the Ten Commandments, we have transgressed against the gospel. Unbelief is a sin against the gospel. If you really would see it, let me give that example again. The law bends you. But if love, if you have sinned against love, it breaks you. It scatters you. It breaks you. When Peter had denied the Lord Jesus, he went out weeping. Sphodra. Deeply. If you have only sinned against the law, you say, now tomorrow it might be better, and I have time to pray. But if you have sinned and crucified Jesus by unbelief, you lost your last hope. But then there is hope. We have denied him. We didn't like him. No one. But the wonder is that he likes those who don't like him. He loves those who don't love him. He wants to be merciful to those who think there is no mercy for me anymore. And not only my transgressions against the law and the gospel, but also my total depravity, my evil nature, that even cleaves to me after grace. Some people say to me, now I'm a holy saint. I have only holy thoughts and desires. Not true. 1 John says, if you say you have no sins anymore, you lie, and the truth is not in you. God's people know their evil nature more than everyone. And especially when grace is preached, there is an inner resistance. Enmity. For the flesh doesn't subdue to the will of God, and cannot. Is there hope for such people? Yes, there's hope. He forgives also my old nature, my depravity. He covers it. My enmity. Therefore, enemies are reconciled to God. There are no friends. We got to be enemies in paradise. There the catechism started with, of God and our neighbors. That's conviction. No, Pastor, I like everyone. Yeah, the devil likes everyone too. But you don't like everyone. Don't say it. You hate God and your neighbor. And you don't want to be uncovered, but this afternoon you're uncovered. That's how you and I am. But not a wonder that God even wants to cover you. God's people know that He loves them while they hate Him. While they resist Him. While they say no cross, no crucifixion. He says, Peter, go behind me, Satan. You don't think the things of God, but the things of man. The greatest wonder is that God embraces enemies and kisses them till they love Him. Did He do to you? I think so. We always think that we have to be friends before we can be loved. But God loves you as you are. And He takes reasons out of Himself. We call it the good pleasure of God eternally. That cleaves to us. In Hebrews says it. Paul says it. Eh? That it cleaves to us. Hebrews 12:1. It's clear. Sin with us easily beset us. It's like a cloth. That's tied around us as a narrow coat. That's sin, that's our evil nature of the old man. That's therefore Paul says, I hope once to be released of my bondage. Who shall deliver me of the bondage of sin? Do you know what I'm saying, or am I wrong? Are only holy people and some faithful people, are they only here? Poor congregation, if that was the case. There are enough around here. We pray and preach to sinners and enemies who say, my evil nature cleaves around me. Oh, I'm a rotten one. You know, our old nature, Paul speaks about it in Proverbs. Now in the Old Testament, let me give an example, Proverbs 12:10. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. That's an unregenerated man, that the tender mercies of a wicked man are cruel. You see it in the barrel bombs of acid. And Hitler. And if you hate your neighbor, I want to kill him. The Bible speaks about our evil nature, and not in such nice words, but truth. Our depraved nature, sin's fall, without natural affection. Truth breakers. You made a truth, a covenant, and you break it. You want to break it. Fierce fighters. Despisers of those who are good. You can't stand the good. Your old nature can't stand the good things. Despisers of the good. steady. I know it. I don't give up. I'm right. Wooden heads. Wooden heads. High-minded. Ah, he knows nothing. I know it. That old man, and he talks about talking. It's all talk. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Can I continue? Is that your old nature? Did God taught you that are you? No? You never know anything still. But now the wonder, which cleaves to us, even together, as we feel this evidence of grace in us. So there is grace and there is mercy felt in us, and even that old nature fights it, clings to us. And he says, but I'll cover that. And therefore in the Bible, salvation is Christ, and I am in Christ. He covers me with his love, his pleasure, his goodness, his mercy, his holy nature, that God can't find any sin in me anymore. And that's a strife between the old and the new. And what? How do you get rid of your old nature? In the cemetery here. Here, in the cemetery. In the cemetery, before you leave, you're burying it. And it plagues you as long as you are here. That you won't need more than grace. I need, oh dear, grace. I need grace. My old rotten nature to be covered by Christ. And that by faith only, given, revealed to me. And then he continues, if that's grace, it works a will, a firm resolution of the heart, forgiveness of the heart. Not just forgiveness, okay. Okay, we don't talk about it. No, forgiveness of the heart. Well, God forgives with his heart. And it's our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor who mistreated us, who lied to us, who broke the covenant with us. You should have compassion with him instead of wrath and anger. You should love your enemies like God loved you, an enemy. A firm resolution. A firm resolution. Worked by God's grace. To love enemies. Oh, Pastor, I'm far away of it. Therefore, Christ teaches us to pray. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, as my debts are so great towards God, should I not forgive my debtors? And if he has forgiven, dear friend, a firm resolution to forgive the debts of me and my enemies. Congregation, and again, if I go by this prayer when I hear my own sermon and what the Bible says, I say it's impossible to love enemies who hated me and brought me to shame. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. When grace is bestowed upon you, you can't have a grudge against your enemies anymore. You have a grudge against yourself. And start begging, forgive me my debts, our debts, me and my children, my friends, my congregation, as we forgive our enemies. Do you? Or do you still have a grudge? You're your biggest enemy yourself if you still have that grudge, that wrath, that anger. Some people stick to that anger. They are ruled even after grave by others, by anger. What did he do to me? My parents, and there you go. That man that misused me, that girl that lied to me, that daughter that wasn't faithful to me or father. And therefore he says, pray it. God will give it to you. God will give it to you. For Christ's sake only. By faith alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thou hast given us a prayer. And we are hesitant sometimes to pray because we stick to our sins and don't want to accuse our evil nature. Even we don't know it even sometimes. We think we are goodies. We're not. Lord, I ask thee to convict the congregation, to uncover their old natures, to make them enemies of grace, where all hope is gone. And on that moment, thou art revealing thyself and say, I still love you. I uncovered you to cover you with my clothes and righteousness, with my colored sheets, with my colored clothes, red of blood. Then I won't see any sin in you anymore. You will have peace with thee. Oh, that peace and that love that lasts forever. Lord, people were not coming this afternoon because they think it's Reformed. No, it's biblical. Let us stick to the Reformed doctrines of grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Oh, please keep us, oh gracious Savior, please, 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 to thee and thy word alone. Amen. 4:15, the fifth stanza. 4:15, the fifth stanza, where we will sing together. 4:15. Fifth stanza. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercy sure, and to such as keep his covenant, the covenant of grace, eh? Not the covenant of works. And his testimony, sure, you can rely on it, eh? That God says, pray and I'll give it to you. Forgiveness of sin and a heart to forgive others. For the glory of thy name, pardon, Lord, my evil doings. Grievous though my sin and shame, hear my cry, thy love renewing. Fifth stanza, 4:15. that you might go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.